That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Guess what? I'm not Todd. I'm Mary Walters, sitting in the seat for Todd. Todd heading to the Big Apple, where he's going to be hosting the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax TV. How crazy is that? That's awesome. Congratulations, Todd. And we've got Jeff Katz in the seat for Todd tomorrow. So I'm just keeping it warm, and then Jeff will be here tomorrow. Coming up later in the show, Liz Peek will be joining us. We'll talk about all sorts of news stories with her. She has a new article out as well that we'll talk about. And you can find her on Twitter at Liz Peek. And then the incredible, the wonderful Governor Mike Huckabee will be joining us with news of the day. He's got a lot to say, so we will speak with him as well. So I have so much to talk about. This news cycle is insanity. And I've been blessed with a lot of work, so I'm super happy. So I've been working all week and crazy schedule, but that's okay because it's a blessing. But last weekend, I had just a ridiculous weekend, just a jam-packed, ridiculous weekend with, I had a day-long event at our church on Saturday. We had to go set up for it on Friday. I had a funeral on Friday morning, and then I had the repast afterwards, and then on Sunday, I had a memorial mass, and then a thing after that, and then I had to go to a wake. So, like, it was just crazy weekend, right? I was so done, like, because they indicted Trump. What was that, on Thursday or Friday? When did the news about Biden's alleged bribery happen? That's when they indicted Trump. I don't know about you, but I've kind of overloaded. And I was saying this yesterday. I was like, I kind of overloaded, so much so that I had to take a step back. I wasn't on Twitter all weekend. I needed a mental cleanse. Now, it can only be a short mental cleanse because I'm working, right? And this is my job, is to pay attention and consume this stuff so you don't have to. I can deliver it to you in a much, much nicer way. But I had to take a break from it, and it's not letting up. It's like the accelerator has been pressed, and we are just, you know, just like flying towards the edge of the cliff, right? That's what it feels like. But all that being said, there is some hope, and we're going to talk about that during the show. I'm going to go into news first, but don't be turned off by talking about news, because you have to be informed. I am going to talk to you, though, about some other news that I think signals that the brakes, someone's maybe pressing the brakes on this hurtling towards the edge of the cliff thing. It may not be a total Thelma and Louise moment, all right? And so that's good news. And this is coming from someone who is a perpetual glass half empty kind of girl. I am not an optimist by any way, shape, or form. By any means am I an optimist. Nope. Because I would rather think that the glass is going to be half empty and then find a full glass and I'm pleasantly surprised. I prefer that to expecting a full glass and then getting there and going, oh man, it's only half full. So that's the way I roll. So for me to say that I think this is good news, it's a big deal. All right. So all that being said, and I will take your calls. All right. If you want to jump in, we're just doing news. But if you want to comment on the news, you're more than welcome. 844-747-8868. Okay. So, Joe Biden, allegedly, what we're just talking about, alleged bribes, right, totaling $10 million. And we know this because some in Congress have finally been allowed to see a 1023 form that the FBI has. You hear a lot about a 1023 form. What it basically is an interview that the FBI has with a confidential human source. The confidential human source has been on the FBI payroll for over 10 years and is making really good cash from the FBI because this is considered a highly credible source, not like Christopher Steele. This is like an actual legit source. And this source told them that there are that a Ukrainian executive, we don't know the name of the Ukrainian executive, but everyone is assuming, and it's coming out that it's the guy who founded Burisma, took when he was speaking to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, recorded some of the conversations because he alleges that he paid Joe Biden $5 million and Hunter Biden $5 million. In exchange for getting rights to some U.S. oil and for getting the prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, fired. Viktor Shokin was investigating Burisma. Hunter was on the board at the time. Now, remember, there is a video of Joe Biden, very bragging, and pride goeth before the fall, bragging about how he got a corrupt prosecutor in Ukraine fired, right? He doesn't, of course, mention that his son was on the board of the company that was being investigated, but he said, I told them I would withhold $1 billion of aid if they didn't fire that guy. And he said, SOB. And he said, next thing you know, they fired him. See? You know, like he was being all braggy, like, I'm so powerful. Well, that's on tape. That's on video. And it just happens to dovetail nicely with these allegations that this guy made. And he says he has 17 recordings, two of Joe Biden and the rest with Hunter Biden. Okay. So they're still trying to get those tapes through the House Oversight and the Senate Judiciary, trying to get these tapes. But the FBI is stonewalling. They know about this, but they're stonewalling. Now, I don't know if they have the tapes, but they're just stonewalling on saying whether they exist or not. So you're seeing a lot of pushback. This is one of the good things as we go through this. Remember this. The left is so comfortable in what they're doing that they're no longer hiding it. And that's good because now we get to see what they're doing. You have a bunch of unelected bureaucrats who are running the FBI and the DOJ who have suddenly become a fourth branch of government unto themselves, accountable to no one. Don't answer the questions from Congress and are very... They're kind of sneering at Congress when they testify because they know that if they don't produce it, come and get it. And it buys time, right? It keeps Biden in office longer and longer and longer. And that's their goal. You can't touch him because we're going to protect him. Biden's going to finish out his 4 years. It's going to take forever. Unlike Trump, right? So everybody's seeing the game now. And people who were saying this, like Trump and everybody else 2, 3, 4 years ago, you were crazy, you were conspiracy theorists, you were cultists. Some people still call you that, but there are fewer and fewer of them. So that's one of the good things. So Republican lawmakers are now demanding transparency from Joe Biden, from President Joe Biden, regarding his tax returns in 2017. He had an S-corp, or maybe he still does, called Celtic Capri Corp. And that corporation listed nearly $10 million without specifying revenue line items on the taxes that he released, because it was like, Joe Biden released his taxes. Ah. But he didn't release a lot of details. And that's where the rub lies. So way back then, and I remember when this was happening, before the 2020 election, USA Today published a fact-check article, and they tried to support the claims that the Bidens earned $15.6 million from speaking fees and book deals for between 2017 and 2019, and that more than $10 million of that total income was profits from Biden's book, Promise Me Dad, which, by the way, has anybody heard of it? Anybody? Anybody believe he sold 10 million to copy? I'm not buying that. And $3 million in profits from Jill Biden's book. Again, couldn't tell you what her book is about at all. Nothing. I got nothing. But now, a closer look at Joe Biden's 2017 tax returns raises eyebrows. And the Federalist critiqued USA Today. And I remember this at the time. They said, follow the source link provided to that $10 million number, because they had it up on a web page. So because he was so transparent about his taxes, they had it up on a web page. If you clicked through, which I remember doing, you end up at Joe Biden's campaign website with financial disclosure links only to their individual returns, not the LLC. So there are no S-Corp tax returns. So the Federalists fact-checked the USA Today's fact-checking. Now, the reason this is important is because we know from the 1023 that this Ukrainian official, whomever it is, we think it's the guy who started Burisma, said that the money was paid out in with so many layers that it will take 10 years to follow the money back to Joe, Hunter, etc. So it's purposely done that way. Now Republican lawmakers are finally demanding transparency. Finally, Ron Johnson told Breitbart News that Joe Biden should openly disclose the source of the revenue. He said Biden should disclose and every member of the press should hound him until he does. Nancy Mace also calling for Biden to produce unredacted bank records to provide transparency. Remember, they have bank records. They keep subpoenaing bank records from more and more banks, and they're going to have to sit and put this puzzle together. But I would like to see them, you know, go after Biden and ask, you know, all right, give us this information. We want to subpoena this information. Now, Eli Crane is out of Arizona, and Eli said the fact that there are credible claims signaling that a foreign national bribed the president of the United States with cash in exchange for influence over U.S. policy decisions is appalling. The American people deserve to know who paid the Bidens and what exactly they were paid for. We now know that there are recordings of conversations Joe Biden and his degenerate son had with a Burisma executive. It's becoming more and more obvious how the indictment of President Trump is meant to be a distraction. It would shock no one in this town if Joe Biden received millions of dollars from selling out the country in a bribery scheme and then hid that money in shady shell companies. Now, they interviewed a guy named Jerry Allison, as Breitbart, who is a CPA of Allison Financial Services. He's been practicing for over 30 years. And he said, it's common for personal tax returns to not list line item income, of S-Corp entities. But that's what we want to see. We want to see the S-Corp. How did the S-Corp get this money? Everybody keeps saying, how did the Bidens make so much money since he's worked in politics his entire life? He does say it is, in my opinion, that both S corporation returns should be examined to find the actual amount of income and to obtain clues as to where the income may have originated. The S corporation returns might reveal other entities from which the income may have originated. And that's what we want to know. All right, 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868 is my number. Chester, you're up next on the Todd Starnes Show.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or ship to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I am Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes. Jeff Katz in tomorrow while Todd is off to go host the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax TV. So good for him. Later in the show, later next hour, we'll be joined by about an hour from now, a little bit more than that. Liz Peek will be joining us to talk about the Trump indictment and the FBI and Joe Biden. She has a new article out, A Trump Indictment Turns 2024 Election Upside Down. But not the way the Democrats think it does. So, okay. So, more. We're just going through some news here. If you want to jump in on the news, you can. 844-747-8868. Also, you can find me on Twitter at Mary Walter Radio. I always post my schedule of everywhere I'm going to be hosting radio shows. And also, I'll probably be with Todd on the Chris Salcedo Show on Monday, because I'm on every Monday between 4:30 and 5. So, that'll be a lot of fun. And I have a podcast on Tuesdays. It's live on YouTube and Getter. If you go to YouTube, you can also see past episodes, and I have a lot of fun guests. I should get Todd on. I've had Alan West, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, and James Rosen, and Cal Thomas, and Sean Spicer, and I know I'm leaving some people out, and I apologize for leaving people out. And we talk about everything but politics. It's really a lot of fun. And then sometimes we do talk politics with other people. So check it out. 7:15 live Mondays and Tuesdays. Just look for Mary Walter Radio on YouTube. It's also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. So remember Pete Buttigieg and the transportation guy? Remember there was a little bit of a brouhaha about him using government jets to, like, you know, jet around the country, which is ironic since, you know, they're all about climate and you should walk everywhere, right? And I don't think they were electric jets. Well, now a government watchdog group called Americans for Public Trust, they claim that they've repeatedly requested FAA records on how often Buttigieg has used the jets and how much it has cost the taxpayers for him to use those jets. So now, because they claim that they have been stonewalled by the FAA, which, by the way, you see a theme when it comes to this administration. Obama did the same thing. They have now filed a lawsuit that the FAA has improperly delayed producing the records on three separate information requests filed by Americans for Public Trust. They say Buttigieg's FAA has stonewalled and refused to adhere to the law for releasing public records, so we're filing on behalf of all Americans. The only documents the FAA has produced to that group were documents previously produced in response to a FOIA request from somebody else. But they are not responsive to all three of their requests. They asked for all flight logs and passenger manifests of the three jets that the FAA manages. Then they asked for the FAA to identify every instance when a White House official, executive branch official, or member of Congress used one of the jets. And then their last request extended the second request to include any other FAA-managed jets. And of course, he's getting stonewalled. They are the group is getting stonewalled. So now they're suing. But that's what they do. They play the game. Now, if we actually had a media, if this were Trump, that people would be screaming and demanding answers and asking, you know, the press secretary every single day. But because it's Biden, the press asks, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre questions about, like, so what flavor ice cream did Joe Biden have today? What kind of ice cream was on the presidential menu at lunch today? Those are the types of questions they ask now. Let's quickly go to Brian in Jackson, Tennessee. Brian, you're on the Todd Starnes Show. Hi.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been listening really close to Trump's statements since being indicted. And, I mean, I truly believe this man was recruited by the military to execute this plan to take down the criminal element that has taken over our government for decades. And when he starts mentioning the Anthony Weiner laptop being worse than a Hunter Biden laptop, that lines up with all the conspiracy info that gets you banned on social media. And that puts more weight behind all the theories that Trump is leading a push to bust this criminal network up between the Bush family, the Clintons, the Obamas, and the Biden crime family. So I just want to urge the people to get behind Trump and listen to the man's words. He puts little nuggets of truth in every little speech, and it may seem like a throwaway line, but this is huge. One laptop leads to another laptop, leads to another laptop. And when we find out that all these former presidents are all connected and that they're all criminals, he has got the precedent by taking these slings and arrows and taking these indictments. He set the precedent to take down every single former president going all the way back. I mean, the last good president to me was JFK.
And so there's a lot to unpack there. We've gotten to the point where you don't want to say what you just said because you're going to be labeled a conspiracy theorist and a wacko and you'll get banned and everything else. Facebook is the worst right now, by the way. They're banning anything. You talk about anything having to do with COVID, anything having to do with the vaccination, anything having to do with what's the other one they're banning everything on? There's just certain topics that if you know you post the election, you're going to get banned. It's going to happen. And maybe we're not so crazy after all. More coming up on the Todd Starnes Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
Sitting in for Todd Starnes. If you want to jump in, 844-747-8868. Coming up in 1 hour, Liz Peek will be joining us to talk about Trump and how his indictment may have changed the game and not the way that the Democrats were hoping for. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going through news. Coming up, I'll have a story about, you know, the Republicans snatching defeat from the jaws of victory yet again. But first, let's go to Troy in Statesville, North Carolina. Troy, you're on the Todd Starnes Show. Hi.
Thanks, Mary, for taking the time with me this afternoon.
Of course.
I told my wife before she got sick and then made her journey to heaven earlier this year that I was not going to vote for Donald Trump coming 24, and the reason being was that what's going on right now, the distraction. But I've come to realize, your caller previously before me, I've been listening to Donald Trump, and he makes a lot of sense, and a lot of things are coming together, just like in the Bible, signs and pieces are coming together. And he's the only one that has enough hard enough spark on him to withstand the chaos that is going on up there in Washington, D.C. And really, in all honesty, he's the only one that we need to be voting for and get back and up there in office.
Well, first of all, I'm so sorry for your loss. That's never easy. And I can't imagine what it's like. I have friends who have lost their partners, and it just never goes away. So I'm very sorry about that.
I appreciate that, Mary. But it gives me peace knowing I know where she's at. And she's
true.
Not suffering anymore. So that's what helps me.
Good. I'm glad to hear that there is some peace with that, and hopefully lots of wonderful memories that help your heart to heal. But here's the thing. I think what we're saying is Donald Trump has been proven right, and I started this with the last call. We ran out of time, but they call you a conspiracy theorist, right? They tell you, oh, you're a MAGA, you're this, you're that, you're a conspiracy theorist. They laugh at you. They censor us from speaking. When they censor you from speaking, it's because you're telling the truth, I think. That's what I believe. And you noticed what happened when Donald Trump spoke at his home in Bedminster. MSNBC, CNN didn't carry it. NPR didn't carry it because it's just lies. We will not subject you. We are not going to help this man lie. They're afraid of him. And I know, I think Ron DeSantis would make a great president if Trump doesn't get the nomination. However, like you just said, I don't know if Ron DeSantis has the internal fortitude that is meant that he's going to have because they're going to come after him too.
Sometimes you got to fight fire with fire, and Donald Trump is our fire, and I've realized that now. So I've changed my way of thinking. I've got to vote for that man. It's not just about him, and I think that's what people are doing, Mary, is they're confusing misconception that they think it's about Donald Trump. It's not. It's about us, and he is fighting for us. So if he's not going to give up, I shouldn't give up.
Yeah, well said. Thank you for sharing that. I think you said it well. I had that discussion with someone on Saturday, and it was really frustrating. Voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020 and won't vote for him in 2024 because of all the distractions, and this man's a train wreck and blah, 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 all this other stuff, you know? So, but thank you so much for calling. It's very hard because it's an emotion-driven argument, and it's very hard to counter emotion with fact because people, you know, they recoil at that because this is a firmly held belief, a deeply held belief on their part, and they don't want to hear that. And that's a hard thing. So you got to be very careful in how you did it. And I don't think I changed any minds. I don't know. We'll see. I compare Trump and Biden to Chamberlain and Churchill. And I'm like, look, everybody loved Chamberlain. He was great. Everybody loved him. Great personality. Super nice guy. Real statesman. He was what a statesman's supposed to be. He was very, very prime ministery. Because you hear all the time, Trump's not presidential. And he gave Hitler Czechoslovakia. He was like, well, here, because he was a nice guy. So he's like, here, take this country. And that didn't work out too well. So then Churchill came in, and they hated him. He was rude. He told a woman once, she said, because he apparently had a drinking problem, and she said something to him about, sir, you're a drunk, or something like that. And he said to her, ma'am, in the morning, I will no longer be drunk, but you will still be ugly. So, but he saved them, right? He saved them from Hitler. I tell people, sometimes you need an SOB to fight an SOB. Sometimes that's what you need. And I also believe, not to get overly religious, I think God puts imperfect people in the perfect spot at the perfect time. And again, I go back to Churchill. Perfect man in the perfect spot at the perfect time. I just think sometimes that happens. All right, let's move on. So, I'm sure you heard yesterday that Adam Schiff, there was a resolution to censure Adam Schiff and all the lies he told and everything during the impeachments. And he kept it going, and he just bold-faced lies. I've seen evidence. He got out there, right? And so Anna Paulina Luna out of Florida spearheaded this censuring and condemnation of Schiff for what she said, what it said was, for conduct that misleads the American people in a way that is not benefiting an elected member, not befitting an elected member of the House of Representatives. And let's face it, it also influenced an election. And the resolution would have directed the Ethics Committee to conduct an investigation into Schiff's lies, misrepresentations, and abuses of sensitive information. Now, the other part of this is there was a clause in the measure that said Schiff should be fined $16 million if the Ethics Committee finds that he, quote, lied, made misrepresentations, and abused sensitive information. According to Luna, she came to that amount because the DOJ reported that Special Counsel Mueller's investigation cost the American taxpayers $32 million. So she wants him to pay half of it back. Because let's face it, he was the one who was out there, you know, saying, I'm seeing all this intel, and I can't tell it to you, I can't show it to you, but I've seen it. And Trump absolutely colluded with the Russians, and he did this and he did that, and none of it was true. So 20 Republicans helped the Democrats. Once again, 20 Republicans snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. Armstrong out of North Dakota, Chavez de Remmer out of Oregon, Ciscomoni out of Arizona, Cole from Oklahoma, Davidson, Ohio, Fitzpatrick, Pennsylvania, Granger, Texas, Graves, Louisiana, Kane Jr., New Jersey, Kylie, California, Kim, California, Lawler, New York, Massey, Kentucky, McClintock, California, Molinaro, New York, Obernolte from California, Simpson from Idaho, Turner from Ohio, Velado out of California, and Womack out of Arkansas. Now, Massey and Turner have come out and said, rewrite it and take the fine, take that $16 million fine out of there, and we'll vote for it. I kind of like the $16 million fine, because what's a censure? Really, what's going to happen to him? He's going to get a slap on the wrist. But because of his lies, taxpayer money was spent. Not, I mean, that was part of it. It wasn't just because of that. Thomas Massey wrote on Twitter yesterday saying, Adam Schiff acted unethically, but if a resolution to fine him $16 million comes to the floor, I will vote to table it, vote against it. He also said, the Constitution says the House may make its own rules, but we can't violate other provisions of the Constitution. A $16 million fine is a violation of the 27th and 8th Amendments, which I'd have to look up, but I'll take his word for it. Now this guy, Mike Turner from Ohio, he's the current chair of the House Intelligence Committee. He was the ranking member on the committee when Schiff led that committee through Congress, and knew Schiff was lying. So what the heck? So if they draft it minus the $16 million, it should pass, and it'll go to ethics. But the five of the Democrats who sit on the ethics committee all voted to just sit it out. They didn't vote. So is it going to go anywhere? Probably not. But it's good to see the Republicans doing something. I mean, I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, could you just like let me know you're breathing? Just something, anything? Just do something. All right. More news if you want to jump in. 844-747-8868. Listen to this one. According to House Homeland Security Committee Chair Mark Green, there was a, and he said this during a Homeland Security congressional hearing, House Homeland Security congressional hearing. And he said, regarding Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas's job performance, he said more people have entered the U.S. illegally under Mayorkas in 2 years than the 12 years of the Obama and Trump administrations combined. I mean, that's crazy combined. He said that Medicaid spending, here we go, this is your money. And everybody who tells you illegals don't cost any money, they pay taxes, they do this, they do that. Medicaid spending on emergency medical services for illegal immigrants went from $3 billion in fiscal year 2020 to over $7 billion in fiscal year 2021. And it's going to be even more for fiscal year 2022. We haven't got the numbers yet. And his office did not respond to a request by the time the story was published. But he also said that Mayorkas had surrendered control of the southwest border to the Mexican drug cartels. And I think most of us agree with that. But the next time somebody tells you, no, they don't cost us any money, I'm like, no. They put their kids in school. We pay for that. They show up at hospitals. We pay for that. $7 billion. $7 billion. That's a lot. All right. You've got Miami Mayor Frances Suarez is announcing that he has thrown his hat in the ring for the GOP presidential nomination. Probably not going to happen. You've seen him around. I've seen him. I recognized him. You know, good looking guy. So he's camera ready, which is good. You need that, you know. And he's got that personality, a very forward personality that you need to command the room. But nobody command a room like Trump. I'm telling you, if you've ever been in his presence, some people just have this. So I was blessed to have been at the White House in a meeting at the executive office building. And we knew that Mike Pence, vice president, was going to be coming in to talk to everybody. And there were seven radio stations there. And we're in this beautiful, gorgeous room. It's just insane when you look at it. And the only thing I could think of is, who dusts this? Because it's like all these carvings and everything. Like, who dusts all this? You can tell I clean my own house, right? And so I'm looking at all this stuff. And we weren't expecting Trump to come in. So we're all in there and sitting, and all of a sudden, like, the temperature in the room changed. Donald Trump walks in. He walks in and he commands a room. It's amazing. It's a certain presence that some people have, and you have to have that. No one has it like him, though. The problem is, now he's young, he's 45, but he is currently under FBI and SEC investigation into a business dealing with a developer in South Florida, where the FBI is investigating him on payments and whether those payments were bribes. They haven't still even found the bribes from Joe Biden, but this one they're going after. This they're going after because he's a Republican in Florida. He also has attacked policies that have both been promoted by Trump and DeSantis. He didn't vote for Trump in the last two elections. He has supported some of Trump's more personal attacks on DeSantis. He voted for DeSantis's opponent in the 2018 gubernatorial race. You know that guy, Gillum, the guy who was later found naked in a hotel room with a male escort and meth? That guy? Mm-hmm, that's who he voted for. He says he's an ally of the LGBTQ plus community. He's met with transgender activists. He participated in the Transgender Day of Remembrance and Resiliency. He supported mask mandates during COVID. He went after DeSantis about vaccine mandates and mask mandates because he banned those. And in Miami, he took aggressive action to shut down businesses that were found in violation of the guidelines that he put in place. So he's got a lot of stuff going on. He criticized DeSantis for signing an anti-rioting law. Okay, think about that for a hot second. He supports global climate change initiatives. So he sounds really, by today's standards, more of a Democrat than a Republican. So he's probably not going to go anywhere. So, all right. Got more coming up that I'm going to get into with you. And then I have some things to discuss. And if you want to jump in on the news, 844-747-8868. I'm Mary Walter, and you're listening to The Todd Starn Show.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
welcome to the Todd Starn Show. If you're just joining us, where you been? Come on, meetings, what are you doing? 844-747-8868 is my number. I am Mary Walter. You can find me on Twitter at Mary Walter Radio. Tariq in Memphis, hang on and listen to this, and you can comment first on it, all right? We'll do this quickly here. Federalist just dropped an article, saying that, talking about that 1023 that Chuck Grassley revealed on a foreign national, identified by individuals with the knowledge of the matter, is apparently founder Mykola Zlochevsky, who is the founder of Burisma, as we were talking about, and allegedly possesses 17 recordings, right? And also that 1023, we know that it's claimed that this entrepreneur, assuming that it is the Burisma founder, paid them $10 million, $5 million to each one of them, right? Each one to Hunter and five to Joe Biden. Well, the Federalist has now learned the FD 1023 reported by CHS is saying that the Bidens, quote, coerced Zlochevsky to pay the bribes. Sources familiar with the investigation also explain the content of Zlochevsky's statements and that content further bolsters the reporting. The confidential human sources reporting, the CHS confidential human resource. According to that source, in the 2015-2016 timeframe, this confidential human source was providing advice to Zlochevsky and told him to stay away from the Bidens. Then, after Trump defeated Hillary, Zlochevsky allegedly told the confidential human source he was upset that Trump won because he feared an investigation would reveal his payments to the Biden family, which included $5 million payment to Hunter, $5 million to Joe Biden. And according to the confidential human source, the Burisma executive claimed the Bidens coerced him into paying the bribes. And he stressed he never paid the big guy directly and that it would take 10 years to unravel the various money trails. And it was at that point that he mentioned that he had the recordings. So being coerced, that's a big deal if it's true, little by little, drip by drip, but we need more. All right, Tariq in Memphis, you're on the Todd Starn Show. We have about a minute and a half. Hi.
Yeah. Hey, how's things?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I just had I had several questions that I want to ask, and one of them is now that they confiscated those documents, I was just wondering if is a trial going to take place, and if so, will there be jurors, and will a judge preside over this hearing? And
which documents? Which one are you talking about? Are you talking Trump? Are you talking the Biden thing I was just talking about? What are you talking about?
Yeah, in regards to Donald Trump.
Yeah, it'll go to a jury, and there's a judge, and we know who the judge is already, and then they'll have to pick a jury. Yeah.
So how will they go about in selecting these jurors?
The way they usually do, and however they do it in New York, it depends on how you do it in your state. You get a thing in the mail. Guess what? Report for jury duty. And then they interview them just like you do with a regular jury, and each side gets to say, prosecution and defense can say, yeah, I like this guy, I don't like this guy, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, I was just wondering how they would go about doing it, because, you know, from what I've seen, the things that's been done, you know, under Biden's administration, you know, you really can't put nothing past these those people in Biden administration.
You know what? It's a good point, but you know who I'm worried more about? It's a New York jury. This is Florida. Okay, this is a Florida jury because he has a case in New York and he has a case in Florida. So it all depends. Hey, do you want to hang on, Tariq, and you can ask the rest of your questions? Do you want to hang on?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Hang on. And we'll have more with Tariq, and we've got more news. There's a lot to talk about. I'm Mary Walter. You're listening to the Todd Starn Show.
If someone you love is struggling with their mental health, you don't have to struggle alone. Call or text 988 to get resources and support from trained crisis counselors who can help you help them. 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Hope has a new number.
Live. from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes. Todd is on his way. He's jetting to the Big Apple, where he will be hosting for Chris Salcedo on Newsmax TV. Tomorrow, Jeff Katz will be here with you. Find me on Twitter at Mary Walter Radio. And also, you can look for my podcast on YouTube and Getter. It's live 7:15 on Eastern on both of those outlets, on both YouTube and Getter. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. And then you can go back other times and you can look at some older episodes. We have a lot of fun guests that are on, names that you know, people you know. And the audio is on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, also just under Mary Walter Radio. So we were having a lovely conversation with our friend here, Tariq, in Memphis. And you were talking about Donald Trump's trial in Miami and how that works. So for people who don't know, and please, I'm not talking down to you here, Tariq. I've actually been called for a jury, so this is why I know how it works. So here's what they do in Florida. They send out mailers. You get that envelope in the mail that says jury duty, like official notice, and you get it. And it tells you, and each state then does it differently, but you have to eventually, somewhere along the line, wind up at the courthouse in Miami or Orlando or wherever your county seat is, wherever it happens to be. And they will call groups of people into the courtroom, prospective jurors, and then the defense and the prosecution get to ask those people different questions to see if they want them on the jury, if they're acceptable to be on the jury. And then that's how they pick the people for a jury. So I hope that answered your question, Tariq.
Well, you know, it did. It answered my question. You know, I've had to serve jury duty myself as well.
Oh, but, okay.
You know, judging from what I've seen, you know, the things that happened within the Democratic Party, you know, I just don't put none past these people. And I think if they had the opportunity, they would probably change the way that they would go about in selecting jurors just to tip the scale, you know, in their favor if mm-hmm. given the opportunity. And so not only with that, but even with the presiding judge, they would tamper with trying to change this whole process if given the opportunity. So, in essence, you've answered my question.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you always been more Republican-leaning, or has that evolved over time?
It evolved over time because, actually, I was voting Democratic ticket. But in regards to, you know, civil rights and equal rights and civil rights and all this type of thing, I think that the Democratic Party has gotten away from that. And I think that these people have a whole new different agenda under Biden. And you clearly can't put your finger on what their objective is. But I don't think that it has anything to do with equality anymore. You know, I just think that it's a whole new different sort of set of circumstances under Biden's administration. And I've just changed my whole stance in regards to the Democratic Party as it relates to Dr. King. It's just changed over the years. And I think that these people have a different objective. And I don't know what that objective is, but it's not for the betterment of the United States.
It's very interesting. Later in the show, I'm going to bring up some polls that actually support what you're saying, that you're not in the minority as far as people moving to becoming more conservative. And I think a lot of that has to do with the left has just become so crazy liberal, right? That I used to think I was in the middle, and now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wait, I'm a conservative. Like, how did that happen? John F. Kennedy right now would be considered a Republican. He would never run as a Democrat. So I wonder if we've moved or if the parties have moved. You know what I mean? Like, if the Democrats have gone so far to the left that now the Republicans are the ones who are kind of like middle of the road now. Not all of them. Obviously, both parties have crazy wings, but I wonder if that's what happened. So I'm going to share that coming up. Thank you so much for the conversation, Tariq. It was a pleasure. And thank you for listening to the Todd Starnes Show. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Absolutely. All right. So let's move on. Just some more news if you want to jump in. 844-747-8868. And I just tried to pick, I know there's a lot, but I'm trying to pick stories that I think we need to have a little bit of a discussion about. So You know the name Daniel Penny. If you don't know the name Daniel Penny, you will, and you'll hear it a lot more. He is a former Marine, 24 years old. He was the one who was on the New York City subway. They're calling him the Subway Samaritan now. And this isn't a very, very, very liberal city. And I used to commute into Manhattan years ago, you know, a while ago, probably about 10 years ago. And I was on the subway all the time. I rode the subway. I didn't have a problem. I would walk through Times Square because I was working up at Fox, and I would to get to Penn Station. I would sometimes, if I had a lot of time, I'd walk through Times Square. If I didn't have a lot of time for shenanigans, I'd just walk down 7th Avenue. If I don't want to deal with tourists, I stayed out of Times Square. But I never felt unsafe. I never was worried. I took the subway from downtown up to Penn Station at like midnight by myself, never worried about anything. Every now and then you'd see that person who's, you know, licking butter off themselves or whatever, but they're harmless. Nothing. I never worried about anything. Now, forget it. You could not pay me enough money to go into Manhattan and ride a subway. Even going into Manhattan at this point in the game and taking the train in and having to walk through Penn Station and all that, I don't even want to do that now. So if you've ever done that, you understand what it's like to be in a subway car with a bunch of other people and you can't get out even if you want to. You can't until the train stops, you can't get out. It's a very frightening feeling if someone is acting menacing, if someone is threatening you. I can't imagine what that's like. And he is being charged now. He faces up to 15 years on second-degree manslaughter charges. He's also being charged with criminally negligent homicide. That could be another 4 years behind bars. So we're just talking about choosing a jury. In New York, they're very liberal. But anyone who's ever ridden a subway in New York knows the experience. So I just wanted to share this with you. This is Daniel Penny on what happened on that New York City subway train and why he did what he did and why he acted.
East Village in Manhattan. So I take the subway multiple times a day. In this instance, I was coming from school. I got out of class around 2:15, and I took the I was at J Street Metro Tech, took the Uptown F train. At 2nd Avenue, a man came on, stumbled on. He appeared to be on drugs. The doors closed, and he ripped his jacket off and threw it at the people sitting down to my left. I was listening to music at the time, and he was yelling, so I took my headphones out to hear what he was yelling. And the three main threats that he repeated over and over was, "I'm going to kill you, I'm prepared to go to jail for life, and I'm willing to die." You know, this was a scary situation, and Mr. Nearly came on. He was threatening. I'm 6'2", and he was taller than me. So it was, and there's a common misconception that Marines don't get scared. We're actually taught one of our core values is courage, and courage is not the absence of fear, but how you handle fear. And, you know, I was scared for myself, but I looked around. I saw women and children. He was yelling in their faces, saying these threats. I couldn't just sit still. Some people say that I was holding on to Mr. Neely for 15 minutes. This is not true. I mean, between stops is only a couple minutes. And so the whole interaction lasted less than 5 minutes. Some people say I was trying to choke him to death, which is also not true. I was trying to restrain him. You can see in the video, there's a clear rise and fall of his chest, indicating that he's breathing. I'm trying to restrain him from him being able to carry out the threats. And then some people say that this is about race, which is absolutely ridiculous. I didn't see a black man threatening passengers. I saw a man threatening passengers, a lot of whom were people of color. The man who helped restrain Mr. Neely was a person of color. And then a few days after the incident, I read in the papers that a woman of color came out and called me a hero. What I don't believe that I'm a hero, but she was one of those people that I was trying to protect. We were all scared. Mr. Neely was yelling in these passengers' faces, and they looked terrified. The reason why there was no video at the start of the altercation was because people were too afraid getting away from him, and the videos didn't start until they saw that situation was under control. I knew I had to act, and I acted in a way that would protect the other passengers, protect myself, and protect Mr. Neely. I used this hole to restrain him, and I did this by leaving my hand on top of his head to control his body. You can see in the video, there's a clear rise and fall of his chest, indicating that he was still breathing. And I'm calibrating my grip based on on the force that he's exerting. And I mean, I was trying to keep him on the ground until the police came. I was praying that the police would come and take this situation over. I didn't want to be put in that situation, but I couldn't just sit still and let him carry out these threats.
And again, anyone who's ever ridden the New York City subway would know exactly what he's talking about there, and would never, ever vote to indict, because you wanted Daniel Penny in your subway car if you're riding the New York City subway. So it's going to be interesting to hear what happens. But you know, this guy got indicted just because of pressure from the likes of Al Sharpton. You know, Al Sharpton, that guy. Why the heck he still has a platform? But of course, he's at MSNBC, so that answers my own question. Lastly, I just want to share a story with you, and we'll move on. In April 2018, you probably remember this story. A Philadelphia store manager in a Starbucks store called the police on two black men who were sitting in Starbucks, and they hadn't ordered anything. And they have a rule that you can't just hang there, because they don't want people coming there and conducting their business and using the Wi-Fi and the bathroom and stuff and don't order anything, which I get. I understand that. It's not a very good business model. So the woman named Shannon Phillips was the regional manager of the operations in Philadelphia and southern New Jersey and some other places, and wasn't involved in the arrests. So she's got nothing to do with this. But she says she was ordered to put a white manager, who also wasn't involved, on administrative leaves. And the reason she was given for having to do this, she said she knew was false. Then she was fired less than a month later because she objected to the manager being placed on leave. Now, if you remember, this was a big, 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 big deal. The two men, Rashawn Nelson and Dante Robinson, were arrested, as I said, near Rittenhouse Square, very, very, very nice area, after the manager called the police, and because they wouldn't make a purchase and they wouldn't leave, which, again, I kind of understand why Starbucks wants that. I get it. Video of the arrest went nationwide, and everybody's screaming because you arrested two black men. Oh, this is racist. So the CEO of Starbucks personally apologized to the men, and then they reached a settlement. Starbucks reached a settlement with both men for an undisclosed sum and an offer of free college. Why would you? I don't understand why you would pay them when you have these rules. I don't understand this mentality. I just can't wrap my brain around it. They also changed store policies. They closed locations across the country for an afternoon of racial bias training. I remember this, and I'm like, this is a big mistake. And the two men also reached a deal with the city of Philadelphia for a symbolic dollar each and a promise from officials to set up a $200,000 program for young entrepreneurs. The Philadelphia Police Department adopted a new policy on how to deal with people accused of trespassing on private property and warning businesses against misusing the authority of police officers. So everything goes crazy. Well, this woman, Shannon Phillips, winds up suing Starbucks for firing her. She wasn't involved in any of this. She said, so the company's rationale for making her suspend this district manager who was not responsible for the store where the arrest took place was an allegation that black store managers were being paid less than white store managers. So they fired a white store manager, apparently, according to the lawsuit, to make up for it. And it doesn't make any sense. And she said, because district managers have no input on employee salaries, so that's why they fired her. So she alleged that Starbucks was punishing white employees in order, like on the altar of, we're going to give you two white employees, off with their heads. We're going to fire them, and we'll shave their heads and walk them through the streets in a sackcloth, and we'll ring a bell and yell, shame, shame. And a black district manager wound up testifying for her. So bottom line, she was awarded $25.6 million plus $600,000 in compensatory damages. And she's also negotiating future earnings and past earnings that she missed out on. So good for her. I'm glad to see people are pushing back. Again, there's some good news in all the craziness out there. I'm going to get into more of it. And then we have Liz Peek joining us here. It's all coming up on the Todd Starn Show.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes. Coming up, Liz Peek will be joining us. I have to tell you something, because now more than ever, it's super important to support the companies and the organizations that share our values, right? And Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share your beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now and use promo code Todd to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage, and they use the same towers that other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for our veterans and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile, super easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, T-O-D-D, or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and free premier activation by using promo code Todd. For more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Okay, some good news for you. I keep telling you, I was going to have some good news with all of this, and Liz is going to build on this, because I think that the narrative is changing, and I think that the tide is turning in this country, and here's one of the reasons why, and I have a lot of these. A lot of polls have been coming out, and they're showing something very interesting when you put them all together. There's an online PRRI poll. It was conducted with more than 5,000 adults during the month of March. Only has a margin of error of 1.5%, so that's good. And they found a significant increase between 2021 and 2023 of Americans across all various demographics that are now embracing the fact that humans are either male or female. And it goes across all generations, too. In 2021, Gen Z, 43% of them, and 51% of millennials were more closely aligned on this than Gen X and baby boomers and the silent generation, okay? In 2023, Gen Z saw a jump in the belief that there were only two genders, 57%, rising from 23% in 2021. Millennials rose to 60% to believe there are only two genders. Gen X, 71%. And baby boomers, 68%. Silent generation, 69%. Interesting that Gen X is higher than baby boomers. I thought that was interesting. But it's important. You're seeing a pushback. And when people say, they're like, oh, you're a bigot, I'm like, no, it's biology. What happened to the people who kept screaming at me that I had to believe the science and I had to go get 14 COVID shots and boosters and everything else because I had to believe the science? You're a science denier. If you don't believe in climate change, you're a science denier. Biology and science, and I took honors biology. I would like that. Oh, no, I did not take honors biology. Sorry, I take that back. I took regular biology. Yeah, regular biology. Sorry. But I happen to know XX and XY, right? Like, those are your options. Is there a percentage of people who every now and then get a mix up in the chromosomes? Yeah, but not many. So that's a good thing. That's some good news about more people saying, and younger people saying, nah, I'm not buying this. We've got a lot more of that coming up. And Liz Peek joining us next on the Todd Stern Show.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
If you're just joining us, welcome to the Todd Starn Show. I'm Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. Todd is on his way to the Big Apple, where he will be guest hosting for Chris Salcedo on Newsmax TV. Yeah. And tomorrow, Jeff Katz will be joining you while Todd's traipsing around the country. Joining us now, Liz Peek, Fox News and The Hill columnist. Liz, I'll find her on Twitter at Liz Peek, P-E-E-K, super easy. Liz, welcome to the show. Always great to talk to you.
Mary, I always enjoy our chats. Thank you for having me.
Of course. This is when Grace said, would you like Liz Peek? I'm like, yes, please. So you have a new piece out saying that the Trump indictment turns the 2024 election upside down. Totally agree. But you claim that it's not the way that the Democrats hope it will turn the election around. What do you mean?
Well, look, I think Democrats, I think the Post actually had a piece kind of along the similar lines that came out just today. We all recognize that Democrats are insisting that Trump is the candidate. I mean, they're doing everything possible to bolster his standing, help him raise money, which, of course, is useful in any kind of primary contest. They want Joe Biden to run against Donald Trump because two things. One, they're pretty sure he can beat him because he did so before. And two, they don't think he can beat anybody else because they're not stupid. They know that he is a very flawed candidate, and now he has to run on his record. If he's running against Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley or Tim Scott or whoever, we're going to be talking about his record. What Democrats don't want is having him run against, I mean, what they do want is running against Donald Trump, where he doesn't have to talk about his record. He'll talk about all of Trump's perceived, you know, Democrat-encouraged flaws and missteps and criminal indictments and so forth and so on. So the issue, I think, is when you take a step back, you say, okay, they're convinced Joe Biden wins. Why then is he trailing in the polls against Donald Trump? Right now, yeah. Trump is up 2 points on the Real Clear average. That's not much. But remember, in the 2020 election, I don't think he ever was ahead in the Real Clear average of polls. I mean, I remember obsessively looking at those polls every day, and occasionally one poll or another would show Trump up. But on the average, he was always down. And in fact, he ended up down. So I think a lot has changed, Mary. I mean, people elected Joe Biden thinking he was a moderate, thinking he was a decent guy. And, you know, kind of they were tired of the Trump dramas. They thought that Joe Biden was going to lead the country to come back together. None of that turned out to be true. He's not a decent guy. He's been accused of basically selling the nation's selling his name for influence. He's been accused credibly by an FBI informant of taking a bribe from the head of Burisma. All of that is pretty bad. And even though the mainstream media has stepped on the story very effectively, guess what? It's seeping out. And I think voters kind of now look at Joe Biden. In fact, even before all these allegations, his polling on honesty and trustworthiness, it's not good. I mean, it's underwater. Mm-hmm. It's been underwater for months. So I think it's a very, very different Joe Biden that is now running for president. People see his age. They see his duplicity. It amuses me to read the New York Times every day and figure out how they're going to try and square the circle. Today, Maggie Haberman's out there with a story about, how Trump said if he's elected, he's going to get the Department of Justice to go after Joe Biden. Oh, horrors to the New York Times, subverting the Department of Justice when Biden's worked so hard to make it independent. I mean, you just practically cough up your coffee reading these things, right?
Oh, absolutely. So I have a couple of questions. When we talk about the investigations, they're clearly slow walking every investigation into Biden's 5 years to figure out if Hunter Biden has some minor tax problems, because they're not going to go after him for anything big. They haven't even touched an investigation into the laptop. And then also, 5 years to figure out whether he lied when he signed that federal firearms form, which, having signed a federal firearms form before, I can tell you he lied. Right? We all know that. But 5 years, they're slow walking. You've got the DOJ and the FBI stonewalling Congress, refusing to cooperate with Congress, which has oversight over them, in order to keep Biden in office. Yeah. That's what they're trying to do here. But here's the thing. So if they do that, are they hoping, though, by putting Trump's indictments, all these things that are coming down, the investigations on steroids, to get them through as quickly as they can, are they hoping to get some kind of charge, some kind of guilty charge against Trump? It inflames MAGA. They get another January 6th. They can point to the right and say, it's all of this is what you people are. And then they don't have to worry about Biden even coming out of the bunker again.
Yeah, no, I think that's all part of the program. And, do they actually want to incite violence? Oh, I'm sure there are people on the left who are in charge of some of this campaign strategy that think, that'd be just great for them. Because really, at the end of the day, Joe Biden is not running against a Republican candidate. He's running against MAGA Republicans. The branding of that, the incessant repetition of it from all the Democrats really tells you that that is an important theme for him and for
right.
the party. And so if they can solidify, you know, they will undoubtedly have campaign video of January 6th. I mean, they have mined that about as effectively as they possibly could. If they have another incident of a protest march that turns violent or something, they would be so happy. I mean, that would just give them kind of another refresher course in how dangerous to the Republic Republicans are. It's really offensive. And I think, you know, I've talked to a lot. It's part and parcel of the whole attack on half the country. That, you know, I can remember that Joe Biden ran as someone who's going to bring the country together. And from day one, he has gone after half the country and who
right.
that voted for Donald Trump and accused us of racism, of being vile and inhumane to children because we don't affirm, we don't like the fact that you can allow someone to do puberty blockers and other things, which, by the way, are now illegal in parts of Europe because
right.
they think it is so dangerous to kids. All of this is so offensive, Mary, and I think they've overdone it. I think they've gone too far. I tweeted something about, you know, reelecting Donald Trump would be the greatest political act of political defiance in this country's history. It would be just like Brexit in the U.K. It would be just saying to all the intellectuals, all the elites, all the people that run our agencies and bureaucracies, screw you, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because I am tired of what you're doing. And
yeah, I may not love him, but this is, yeah, they may say, I may not love you, but this is what I don't love him, but this is what I'm going to do. I want to just give you a couple things here before we run out of time. You have a Massachusetts middle school where the kids protested the Pride celebration. They refused to wear rainbows. They were chanting that my pronouns are USA are my pronouns. You have the first California Muslim assembly member walking out of the day-long Pride celebration at the state capitol because they were honoring the Sisters of Perpetual Outrage,
yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
whoever
yeah.
the heck they are. And he said,
yeah.
and he's Muslim, and he said, religious bigotry is bigotry. You have Hamtramck, Michigan, which is the first all-Muslim city council and Muslim mayor, banning any flag except the U.S. flag and military flags being flown on government property there because they said, you know, and they had some incredible speeches at this meeting. You have a new poll from Gallup that was released yesterday that shows that Americans identifying as socially conservative have reached an 11-year high. You
wow.
have you have all across the spectrum, including millennials, turning Republican, the data showing, and this was written up by Nate Cohn on the New York Times last Thursday, that it's been a stunning shift.
Yeah.
And also exit polls showing Latino and Black voters shifting to the right, Muslims shifting to the right. Is this something that Democrats did not see coming? Because I have to tell you, they usually see very far down the road and they plan down the road. How do they miss it if it's true?
Well, I think they always go too far, Mary. We know this, right? This is the Democrat playbook. They are so convinced of their righteousness and their rightness that they always go too far. I mean, I actually do think this is sort of a trait. And we know this is true because it's happened in the past. And by the way, when I say political defiance, instead of marching in the street and doing something disorderly, I think people are just beginning to say enough. We are not on board with this. Parents are saying it about their kids' school
yeah.
materials. And even here in liberal New York City, a young mom was telling me that her, I think, maybe third grader was required to read a book over the summer, which is offensive, about gender fluidity. And she said the mothers aren't going to let their kids do it. And you know, that is bold in a New York City school, to private school, to take on the administration and refuse
yeah.
to do something like that. It's scary because you don't want to jeopardize your kids standing at the school or whatever. But it's gotten crazy, and everybody recognizes it's crazy. So, you know, I hope that all these data points that you're mentioning are real. In fact, I'm using some of them in a piece I'm working on right now. I agree with that 100%. I just think people are fed up, and they're fed up enough to vote against Joe Biden and the Democrats. Now, that should have happened in 2022. Maybe it just didn't get bad enough. I don't know. But I think every day that goes by, more people are kind of coming around and saying, yeah, I'm just not on board with this. Yeah.
Well, I will say, and we're kind of up against the clock here, but I will say that I wouldn't put it past Democrats to let Joe Biden swing in the wind on these alleged bribery charges.
Yeah.
Let him go down and put Gavin Newsom in because they know he's more electable than Joe Biden. So that wouldn't surprise me. Since you're in New York, quick question on the Daniel Penny thing. He's been indicted now. He's going to go to trial. Do enough New Yorkers ride the subway to understand what was going on in that metal enclosed tube underground to be able to vote to acquit him?
Listen, I ride the subways. There is nobody who does that who has not seen indications of danger and been worried and gotten off a train to get on a different one because of things like this. Literally nobody. I mean, everyone's had bad encounters. So I hope he will get a fair trial. I'm not at all convinced because I think that the politics of New York are so insane right now. I don't know that he can get a fair trial. I sure hope he has great representation, and he does, because this is offensive.
Absolutely. And could you please tell those people, all of your disgruntled neighbors, to stop moving to New Jersey and voting for Democrats? We would appreciate that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, they come here and they're like, well, this is a really nice place. Let's wreck it.
Yeah, and what about Florida? Florida's worried about the same thing. All these New Yorkers moving to Florida, and pretty soon you're going to have another blue state. Must be crazy, right?
They clearly are insane that they cannot connect the way they vote to the outcome of what they have. And I'm like, you voted for this. How is this surprising to you?
Yeah,
and yet it is. It's the wildest thing.
I agree 100%. I'm always telling my limousine liberal friends, don't you get it? What you don't like about New York is now going national because you voted for Joe Biden. And they don't. They don't see the connection.
It's why. Yeah, we need to start setting up those re-education camps.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Liz. I really appreciate speaking with you. You're the best. Thank you for joining me here on the Todd Stern Show. Of course.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
All right, do you want to jump in? 844-747-8868. So I'm going to go through more of those data points that I was just talking to her about, because I said I did have some good news, and I think a lot of this is good news. I think they have pushed it too far, and I think some of that is what we're starting to see, and it does give me a teeny tiny little glimmer of hope, but I try not to get too hopeful because I hate being disappointed. So there's that. All right, that's all coming up. Don't go away. Todd Stern Show.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
A little free bird. Back when music was great, because I'm old. 844-747-8868 is my number. You can follow me on Twitter at Mary Walter Radio. Check out my podcast on YouTube. Look for Mary Walter Radio there. And the audio is on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. Look for Mary Walter Radio. Okay. Coming up in less than an hour, Governor Mike Huckabee will be joining us on News of the Day. So, as I was saying to Liz Peek just now, and I told you in the beginning of the show, there's some good news. I think Liz is right. I think that the tide is turning. And I want to know if you agree. Is the tide starting to turn? 844-747-8868. So, we talked about how, you know, that more Americans are saying there's two genders, A and B. That's it. You have Gallup telling us, Gallup's annual values and beliefs survey, that a larger majority of Americans now say transgender athletes should only be allowed to compete on sports teams that conform to their birth gender. 69%. That number has gone up in the last 2 years, and it goes up across all demographics. And the number of people who say, well, transgenders can compete on any team they want, has gone down. Probably because, and riddle me this, Batman, if you think they should be able to play on any team they want, how come transgender men, which women who become men, which I think that's the way it is, never want to play on the man's team? You ever notice that? It's always the guys who want to compete on the women's team. It's kind of weird how it doesn't go the other way. So if there's no difference, how come that is? If they're biologically the same, how come? It's weird, isn't it? How one never goes the other way? Only swings in one direction, right? All right. So I also said to Liz something that happened, and this is in a middle school in Massachusetts, the Marshall Simons Middle School in Burlington. They were having a pride celebration, but they were asked to wear rainbow clothing, and there was a poster that included a quote from Tennessee Williams that they took it as implying that humans are not naturally heterosexual, and that's because this generation has been taught to see race and gender identity in everything. So when you teach kids to look for the subtle message and to judge everything through a dopey lens, they judge through a dopey lens, and sometimes that doesn't work for you. So let's go to the middle schoolers, and this is from a news report, WHDH, in Burlington, Massachusetts, and hear what happened at the school with these middle schoolers.
Displays of intolerance and homophobia are unacceptable.
This type of intolerant rhetoric starts in the home.
Parents angry at town hall over intolerance at Marshall Simons Middle School. Kids were asked to wear rainbow clothes in honor of Pride Spirit Day, but some organized a counter-protest wearing red, white, and blue or black. The principal sharing a statement to families that Pride posters were ripped down, stickers ripped up. Some students chanted, USA are my pronouns, and students showing pride were intimidated.
It was an unruly disruption, in fact, that was organized ahead of time.
While some parents were upset, others say it was overblown.
Some of the kids threw the stickers on the ground. But, you know, I can only speak for my daughter. She didn't want to wear that to school. It's not that she wanted to hurt anybody's feelings.
She says her daughter felt coerced to participate in the Pride event and was offended by some of the messages, like this quote from Tennessee Williams.
Human heart cannot be straight. It is curves and winds. And my daughter just kind of said, you know, Mom, that's offensive to me, who I am straight.
I love the educator who said it was an unruly disruption. I don't know. I kind of thought disruptions were unruly, but that's just me. Can you imagine what would happen if they asked everyone to wear a flag shirt, something patriotic? We would be hearing about how horrible that is. It's so xenophobic, etc., because America's such a racist country. Starting with middle school, change is a coming, people. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. We'll talk some more about it coming up on the Todd Starn Show.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. Welcome to the show. Where have you been if you're just joining us? 844-747-8868 is my number. Coming up on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line will be Governor Mike Huckabee. He's joining us in about half an hour to talk about news of the day. I have to just take a quick side jog here, like just go up for a second, then we'll come back under good news and why I think things are changing. And I want to know from you, do you think the tide is changing when it comes to this liberal explosion we've seen in this country? 844-747-8868. So, we don't have time to get the audio. I wish we did, but we don't. Can we get the? Do you think can you guys pull this audio if I send it to you about Joe Biden, what Joe Biden said today? You can? All right. So coming up, maybe we'll do it after Governor Huckabee joins us. Joe Biden, his brain is broken, and he was talking this morning, and he made some promises and said some things that are hilarious. So we'll do that coming up. So I'll send you guys that audio, but it's hilarious. So let's go back then. We just played a piece about middle schoolers in full revolt against being forced to wear rainbow and their pronouns. They're saying USA are my pronouns. They're starting to rebel. And, you know, I'm thinking, can you imagine the parents that are so upset over these kids saying, I'm not participating in this, would be outraged if you said, well, tomorrow's an American Pride Day. And so we're asking everyone to wear red, white, and blue and the American flag. And we're going to have American flags everywhere. And the teachers are going to dress all patriotic. The teachers are going to dress up like historic characters that helped found this country. The left would have a fit. Because America's a racist country. And what about people who aren't citizens? They may feel threatened by this. But yet they're upset and shocked that you don't want to participate in their, you know, displays of what they believe in. 844-747-8868. Coming up, we're going to talk about faith and how Muslims, as a group, are moving away from all of this stuff. And it seems to be this whole pride thing that's really pushing people over the edge. I have gay friends. It's not that that should be newsworthy, but yesterday I was talking to my friends, two women, they're married, they're wonderful people, love them. Don't care that they're gay, don't care who they marry, because they're great people. It's all I care about. They are not on board with this whole gay pride thing, this pride thing, because it's really not about gays and lesbians. It's really about the trans community now. They've kind of hijacked the whole movement. And they are not down with this at all. So it's super interesting to see, like, even they've been pushed too far with this. Let's head to Dale, who's driving through North Carolina. Dale, you're on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome.
Hey, glad to be here.
So what do you think about all this? Is the tide turning?
Well, I think people are kind of polite until it starts to affect them. For instance, if someone of the opposite gender went into a ladies' bathroom 10 years ago and they went in, went out, they were very discreet about it, nobody noticed it, and it's like, okay, it happened, but nobody knew about it. But then when you start getting loud and boisterous that it's a movement, now it's a big issue, and people that really didn't care start to care. You know, same thing like with the athletes. You know, until it starts making a big impact. And so, yeah, I think the tide's turning, because it's kind of obvious, I think, that the tide should turn. But people are just kind of polite and they don't say anything until they're pushed a little too far.
Yeah, and I don't know if the kids... See, well, how about this? You know, if you want to be a rebel, and every kid rebels, right? Like, that's their thing. They go through a phase, they rebel, middle school, prime area for rebelling. What's the ultimate in rebellion now? Going against the man. Do what Bernie Sanders did back in the 60s in Haight-Ashbury, right? Like, you go against the man. But Bernie Sanders, like so many from that generation, have grown up and become the man. Right? Bernie Sanders only rails about billionaires now, billionaires. He used to rail, he used to complain about millionaires and billionaires. Now, it's just billionaires because he is a millionaire. So whereas they just sat around and smoked dope and, you know, were real peaceful hippies, the younger generation that is quote unquote rebelling is rebelling against the Antifa type, who are really... they're pro-authoritarians, which is not rebelling at all. They think they are, but they're not. They're really not rebelling at all. They've just become the foot soldiers of... They're the brown shirts to Hitler. They're the black shirts to the Democrat Party. So it's not surprising to see middle schoolers, right, rebel, because that's what they do.
Right. I think adults, you know, the same way. I was in a casino in Atlantic City the other night, and we were sitting playing cards, and somebody kind of brought up politics, and it was very tiptoey. And so the lady at the very end said, I really want to tell you who I'm for before you leave. And she, like, whispered in my wife's ear that, you know, we're in New Jersey, and she said, I'm for Trump. Because people are just... they have those feelings, but they're afraid to say anything about it. And I think, like I say, the more pushback there is, people tend to then get a little more vocal. But anyway, that's what I think is the tide is turning.
I'm in New Jersey as well. And I remember in 2016, we had a bunch of contractors working on our home. And my husband, I wouldn't let him fly the Trump flag until like the week before the election, because I didn't want my house burned down, because I'm in this People's Socialist Republic of New Jersey. And we had the contractor, one of them comes up to me, goes, hey, Mayor, He said, so we're working out there. He goes, we keep hearing all these beeps, and we think people see the, our truck, and they're beeping at us. But he goes, there's a lot of people beeping. He goes, it's your flag. People are beeping for the flag. I was like, that's great. And one of the masons came up to me and said, hey, I just thought you'd like to see this. And he starts opening. It was cold. It was, you know, October, November. So he opens up his outer jacket, and inside he has a Trump shirt on. But you're right. You had to hide it. I will tell you, though, the good thing about hiding it is they don't see it coming. Right? So, kind of cool. They didn't see it coming last time. They may not see it coming this time. So, drive carefully. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you listening to the Todd Starnes Show, Dale. Okay. So, in I was talking to you about Hamtramck. I talked to Liz Peek about this. Michigan. It's a famously majority Muslim city. And they have the nation's first all-Muslim city council and a Muslim mayor as well. And they just voted unanimously to approve a resolution that would ban the LGBTQ plus pride flag from being flown on the city's public property. The resolution was proposed by the mayor pro tem, Mohammed Hassan. It bars any religious, ethnic, racial, political, or sexual orientation group flags from being flown on city property. It only allows the American flag to be flown along with state and city flags or other national flags and the POW flag. Now, there was pushback, but I want you to hear what one of the gentlemen who spoke, he's an immigrant from Yemen. And you had a lot of these people, and I have a theory that the further away you get from your immigration story, from the generation that immigrated to this country, the less you appreciate this country. And here is an immigrant from Yemen speaking in favor of this proposal to ban certain flags from being flown on city property.
Good evening. My name is Meji, and I'm an immigrant from a small village in a country called Yemen. I came to this great country when I was less than 7 years old, but I did not always think that this was a great country. In fact, from the time I got here until I graduated college, I was constantly told America is an evil country. America is an unjust country. America is a racist country. I felt like I did not belong here. Over the years, as I grew up in America, I had flashbacks to my early life in Yemen. The level of poverty and chaos that I personally witnessed there was at another level. The effect it had on me was similar to when you're in a nightmare and you suddenly wake up. It was a complete shock. Alhamdulillah, praise be to God. Now I am thankful that God has blessed me with the opportunity to be and live in this wonderful country, where I have the freedom to live my life as I see fit, where I can worship my Creator in peace and tranquility. Unfortunately, many people in our country don't seem to understand this. They don't know, or they don't want to know, what it's like to live in extreme poverty, what it's like to live under severe repression, where there's no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion. I owe my success and my livelihood first and foremost to the Creator Himself, Almighty God, then to this great country. Our soldiers fought, bled, and died in the jungles of Iwo Jima and the beaches of Omaha so that you and I can live with peace, prosperity, and freedom. Those soldiers fall under the American flag and no other. It's shameful and embarrassing to have any other flag in public buildings. You have the freedom to display whatever you wish in your home or your private businesses. We respect all nations, cultures, and their flags, but we only salute the American flag. Do not waver and do not flinch. You are doing the right thing. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Do you hear what he's talking about? They understand what it's like to have political oppression. They understand the blessings of this country. The further away you get from the generation that moved here, the less you understand that, in my opinion. But you're starting to see Muslims who are acting as a group now and saying, no, this isn't going to work with us. You had California's first Muslim assembly member walk out of the state legislature as they were honoring the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence during a day-long celebration of pride at the state capitol. And while he was walking out, he held up a sign that said, religious bigotry is bigotry. And he said, I really believe all of faith is under attack, and today's Catholics might be tomorrow's Jews, and after that, the Muslims. It's a very dangerous precedent. He said, when I saw this group and the way they mock Christianity, specifically Catholics, by exaggerating their wardrobe or by these outrageous displays using crosses and Jesus, I say it's highly, highly offensive. So is the tide turning? Are people starting to stand up? We need more people to stand up like that. We need more religious groups to stick together, right? 844-747-8868 is my number, and I'll get your calls coming up on the Todd Starnes Show. All right. So I told you Joe Biden made a speech today. He was speaking to the League of Conservation Voters today. So here's one of the things he wants to do. He has a proposition about building a railroad. Do we have that one?
Well, we're going to win, and we're going to help. We have plans to build a railroad from the Pacific all the way across the Indian Ocean. We have plans to build in Angola, one of the largest solar plants in the world. I can go on, but I'm not. I'm going off script. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah, he's going to get in trouble because you can't build an ocean. You can't build a railroad over the Indian Ocean, Joe. So he's getting totally, totally just trolled for that. Also, during the speech, he claimed that soon Africa will have 1 billion people. Well, according to Johns Hopkins, since 1982, Africa's population has passed the 1 billion. Oh, it passed the 1 billion mark in 2009. It's estimated to be 1.4 billion. But again, Joe goes off script and all holy heck breaks loose. Now, this is a part of the speech where the audience is actually just laughs at him. His brain malfunctions.
We've mobilized the world's leading emitters to help poor countries deal with the impacts of climate change. They called it the G7, the Build Back Biden, Build Back Better. And we realized that got confusing. So now we don't call it that. What we call it is, here's the bottom line. Look, we're the ones that caused the problem. The United States. We cleared all our land. We did all the things to make things more easy for us to make money.
Build Back Biden, Build Back Better. Do you hear them laughing at him? The thing about Biden, that's the beautiful thing, is the Democrats, it's genius. The Democrats have turned this so that Joe Biden, you know, oh, that's Joe. When he has a gaffe, right? Joe Biden, it's a gaffe, right? That's what we call it now. It's just a gaffe. It's no big deal. It's just Joe. Oh, Uncle Joe, right? This is what they talk about. That's all. It's just Uncle Joe. And he gets away with it. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what he gets away with, and it's okay. It's brilliant on their part, actually. So, all right. Coming up, we do have Governor Mike Huckabee will be joining us. We're going to talk about the news of the day, the Pride Month, the stuff going on, Trump's indictment, where he thinks this is going to go. I'll talk to him about whether he thinks the tide is turning, because as I told you, I think the tide is turning a lot. And you can chime in on that as well. Also, listen to this. This guy on TikTok, he's a quote-unquote influencer, but he's older. He's in Belgium. So I couldn't, we did have audio of it. I could have pulled audio, but it's in, I think they speak Flemish, so I didn't understand any of it, so you wouldn't either. In order to get followers, well, that's probably why, but he claims it's not because of that. He faked his own death. Listen to this. This guy fakes his own death. His name is David Barton. And at the funeral, where everybody's assembled for this man's funeral, a helicopter descends from the sky. And this guy, the deceased, gets out of the helicopter. And he lands in this field. and you see everybody, people are looking and they're taking video because that's what everybody does, take video. Oh, there's a helicopter landing to take video. This guy jumps out of the helicopter. So, of course, people go running over to him. He faked his death. And he told them, cheers to you all. Welcome to my funeral. And he said the reason he did this is he says that what I see in my family often hurts me. I never get invited to anything. It's probably because you do stuff like this. He says, nobody sees me. We all grew apart. I felt unappreciated. That's why I wanted to give them a life lesson to show them that you shouldn't wait until someone is dead to meet up with them. And one of his daughters had posted, rest in peace, Daddy. I will never stop thinking of you. Why is life so unfair? Why you? You were going to be a grandfather and you still had your whole life ahead of you. I love you. We love you. We will never forget you. Is it me or was this like a really bad prank? I get he wanted to teach them a lesson, so I kind of get it. But dude, I don't know. Like, if maybe there's a reason why you're probably not getting invited to stuff, right? Like, when I hear this, I'm like, well, I kind of know why you're not getting invited to things. This is poor judgment. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Faking his own death to teach the family a lesson. And here's another thing that's really sad. You know, this guy's into TikTok and you know, he's old. Like I said, he's older because he's going to be a grandpa. You should know better than this. You write your family a letter, but you don't do it publicly. But I have to believe he's doing this for TikTok likes. A study conducted for the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism, which is part of Britain's University of Oxford, found that 55% of people who use TikTok, which is mostly younger people, 52% of Instagram users, which is everybody, get their news from personalities on the respective platforms. Oh, I got news for you. If I was in touch with you and you did that to me, I just don't think we'd speak again. All right, Governor Mike Huckabee, joining me next. I'm Mary Walter, and you're listening to The Todd Storn Show. I'm Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. Joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline, it is Governor Mike Huckabee. He is the host of Huckabee on TBM Saturdays from 8 and 11 Eastern Time. And Sundays, you can see it again, 9 o'clock on Eastern Time as well. Governor Huckabee, thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure when I get to speak with you.
Well, thank you, Mary. Great to be with you. And I loved the Alvin Bragg commercial just before we came on. How brilliantly creative. That was great.
So I want to ask you, first of all, can I just say, tell one little Mike Huckabee story, if you don't mind? Can I tell the audience a Mike Huckabee story? I don't even know if you remember this. Back in the day, back when you were at Fox News, your office was on the 18th floor.
Yep.
And I was in radio there, and I always used to walk past your office because you were right by the radio studios.
Yeah, right.
And you were only there, what, Thursdays and Fridays because your show aired on Saturdays, right?
That's correct. We would tape on Saturdays. So I'd usually get there Thursday and leave Saturday.
Okay. So I was a huge fan, and I was so excited. Oh, Mike Huckabee's on our floor. His office is on our floor. This is so exciting. So when I wasn't in all the time because I was just doing fill-in, but I was also doing TV at the time and stuff, so I was around a lot. And one day, you were in your office, and you had the door open. And the offices, if no one understands, they're the size of smaller than a New York City hotel room. So if you lay down and like one way, your feet and your head would hit the walls, right?
Absolutely,
Right, and you had this tiny little office. I knocked on your door, and you look up, and you were just settling in, and you sat down, and you said, "Oh, come on in, come on in." Whoa. I introduced myself. And you offered me to sit down on your little like half couch that you had there, and you had your guitar there, and you spent about 20 minutes talking to me, and I have to tell you that you won me over. Like, I'm a fan for life because you were so gracious and so kind, and you didn't know me from Adam. So I just want people to know that in real life you are as kind as you are as you come across on TV. That's all.
What a very kind and wonderful thing to say. Thank you very much, Mary.
Well, every word is absolutely true because a lot of people aren't like the way they come off on TV, you know? And you are the genuine article, the real deal. So I just wanted people to know that story, that you just really, really impressed me. So it's a pleasure getting to speak with you.
Well, the pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Let's talk about this Trump indictment. We were just speaking about to Liz Peek about an hour or so ago, and she has a new piece out, an opinion piece, that Trump's indictment is going to turn the 2024 election upside down, but not the way the Democrats hoped, that the Democrats have overplayed their hand, as they do with so many things, and that the fact that the American people know that Hillary Clinton should have been indicted, they know what's going on with Joe Biden, that all of this stuff has been hidden because more and more and more of it are coming out. Are they unwillingly pushing people to Trump, or is that the plan, that they want Joe Biden to run against Trump?
I don't think they really understand what they're doing. I look at this as an episode of the Roadrunner cartoon, and the Democrats are Wile E. Coyote, and they have their warehouse full of Acme bombs that they are convinced will take Trump down. But every time they light one, it blows up in their face, and the Roadrunner ends up getting away. And that's what I see playing out here, is a very interesting Roadrunner cartoon. And the Democrats are not playing this smart, because what they're doing, they're turning Donald Trump into the one thing they can't afford for him to be, a martyr. That's what they created. And the sad fact is, even people that don't like Donald Trump and that would never have voted for him, they watch what's happening and they say, you know, I don't necessarily like Donald Trump or his personality, don't agree with all his policies, but this isn't right. I'm going to vote for the guy. And I really see that happening. And you even begin to see it in the polls. He's not losing ground. He's gaining ground, because people watch Sandy Berger stuff classified secret documents down his pants, and he had no right to have any of them, and that was fine. Hillary had her private server. She had no right to have classified documents at her home, but she had them. Joe Biden was a senator and a vice president, not a president, when he had private documents, classified secret documents. Nothing happens to him. And they want to put Donald Trump in prison for life, for heaven's sakes. You don't have to be let's just put it this way. If you got one eye that works and half your brain, you can figure that this is not the way that the justice system is supposed to work.
And we can sit here and say that, but it all depends on a jury, right? And it all depends on a jury to say, well, you know what? He shouldn't have had these things. He did break the law. This is the law. It was broken. So whether or not Hillary Clinton was found guilty or not, she was never indicted on it. So if you don't indict those people, they can't be found guilty. But if you have an honest jury, could they possibly find Donald Trump guilty?
It's possible, but there's always an appeal process. I honestly kind of think this may never go to trial for two reasons. One, I think it's very possible that a court will look at what has been charged and throw the whole thing out and just say, you cannot charge a former president on this. It just doesn't work. If he gets good lawyers, I think he has a shot at that. Secondly, I think this thing could drag out long, long time, way beyond the 2024 elections. And if he gets elected and pardons himself, it's game over.
Yeah, but it would still be that he was, you know, he was found guilty. You still have that. What do you say to the people? I had this conversation on Saturday with someone here in town, and voted for Trump in 2016 and again in 2020, but will not vote for Trump because they're like, oh, he's unethical. He's this, he's that. The constant drumbeat and the drip, drip, drip from the left has worked with some people. They just want to break from all of the nonsense and all of the constant, this is bad, that's bad, this happened, that happened. They just don't want it anymore. So what do you say to those people? How do we win them back?
Some of them we're never going to win because they just don't want to be won over. But here's what I would suggest. Everybody take a good, strong look and think about. If Donald Trump is disabled from running because of legal complications that the Democrats have hoisted upon him, and that's what this is, a political persecution. If it works, does anybody honestly think that whoever the Republican nominee will be treated any better? Do you really think that? Here's the difference.
Right.
Will the next Republican nominee have the capacity to withstand this level of pressure like Donald Trump has? I don't think anybody is up to that. And plus, if this ever happens, this becomes the new template of how the Democrats win elections. They don't win it at the ballot box. They win it in the courtroom. And that's a dangerous, dangerous precedent to set. So what I have said to some of my friends who don't like Trump is, you better hope Trump wins, because the only way this stuff stops is to prove that it has the opposite effect of what they thought.
Yeah. I worry, though. I do worry about all of this. Can they run Joe Biden from the basement again?
Well, they're doing it now. I mean, let's face it. He doesn't come out very often. When he does, he stumbles down the stairs, has to be led off the stage, can't even read the teleprompter, and is completely incapable of making a coherent sentence that isn't scripted. And the ones that are scripted, he bungles those. So if he runs a campaign at all, it'll be from some basement until they give him a B12 shot, get him on stage for 15 minutes, and then hurry him back to whatever bunker he's living in.
I'll tell you, if a B12 shot does that, I'm going to start signing up for him, because, Lord, I think I need like Prevagen in the water at this place. So there's a someone on this periphery here. RFK Jr. is becoming a growing problem for the Democrats. He has a higher favorability than any of the other major 2024 candidates. Robert RFK Jr. Does pull in some of the middle of the road people, right? Because let's face it, if John F. Kennedy were alive now, he would be running as a Republican, not a Democrat. Can the Democrats keep him out of the race effectively enough?
They're going to try, because he's very dangerous to them. I have great respect for RFK Jr. I'm trying to get him on my show because I like him. Now, am I going to vote for him? No. There's some issues like abortion and some others where we're going to be of such difference, but it doesn't mean that I don't respect him. And I love the fact that he's willing to take on many of the sacred cows that the Democrats are protecting,
right?
Like big corporations and businesses in the deep state. He does understand, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, that there ought to be a government that is blind when it comes to serving the people. And so I find him refreshing. I find his candor, his clarity, and frankly, his heartfelt and well thought through convictions. That's refreshing to see in any political candidate of any political party.
Two quick questions, and then we have to go. I'm so sad we're up against the clock, because I could talk to you for another hour. So do the Democrats eventually get the DOJ and the FBI to stop stonewalling with this investigation into Joe Biden? It's all coming to light. They're so confident in their ability to not turn these papers over to the Oversight Committee, which is who has the oversight over the DOJ and the FBI. We know they're controlled by the Democrats. Do the Democrats just cut Joe Biden loose by allowing that investigation to go forward, because he'll still remain in office for 4 years, and then they run Gavin Newsom, who is far more electable, I think, than Joe Biden.
If they feel that there's no way they can keep protecting Biden, that's what they'll do, because they will do anything to stay in power. Joe Biden is not their champion. He's their, frankly, he's their pawn. Simply, this is weekend at Biden's. And Joe is the guy sitting in the chair whose pulse has long since expired. So it's not about their love for Joe Biden. It's their love for power, and that's what they'll fight for.
So my last thing is I've said several times that I'm not a glass half full kind of gal. I'm a pessimist, because I'd rather be pleasantly surprised than horribly disappointed. So I don't get my hopes up, right? I've dated. I remember dating men. No offense, but that's why I don't like to get my hopes up. You're seeing a change in this country, and I'm curious if you think it will happen in enough time to really make a difference in 2024. You have Hamtramck, Michigan, the first all-Muslim city council, Muslim mayor, barring the flying of any religious, ethnic, racial, political, or sexual orientation group flags on a city property. Only the American flag, other national flags, city and state flags, and prisoner of war flags. That's it. So you've got the Muslims pushing back against this pride stuff being pushed down our throats. You have California's first Muslim assembly member walking out of the celebration, the pride celebration, because of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And he said, I'm not a Muslim, but I know bigotry when I see it. So he's standing up for Catholics. You have kids. You have, let's see, the highest percentage of conservatives, people identifying as conservative in 11 years. You have the younger generation. You have more millennials now coming over to the Republican side. Is the tide changing?
I think it is, Mary. I truly see some signs, and part of it is that it was one thing to say, look, if people want to marry somebody of the same gender and live their lives, you know, in their own way, that's their business. But we were always told this is just about letting us live our lives peacefully and quietly and not interrupting anybody else. Well, that's no longer the case. We have people saying, right, we want to have drag queens in your six-year-old school. We demand that little boys get to pretend to be little girls. And we are going to let biological men beat the snot out of your teenage girls in sports activities because we're going to pretend that those boys have become girls somehow magically. And people know that's nonsense. This is no longer about accommodating some people with a different point of view. This is about full-blown crazy, and people are sick of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is, like you said, it is out of control. Governor Mike Huckabee, thank you so much for joining me on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. You can see his show Huckabee on TBN Saturdays at 8 and 11 p.m. Eastern and Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern. Follow him on Twitter at @GovMikeHuckabee. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Mary. God bless.
God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. All right, your call's coming up, 844-747-8868 on the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter, in for Todd Starnes. Todd will be on Newsmax TV filling in for Chris Salcedo. So make sure you watch him there. Tomorrow, Jeff Katz will be here with you. All right, summer is almost here. One thing I hate more than anything else is when my pillow is really super warm, especially in the summer. It drives me crazy. You got to flip it over and flip it over and flip it over. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching MyPillow 2.0. Now, when Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes the pillow even better. And we have MyPillow everywhere in our house. Every guest bed, everything has MyPillow. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, but now it has a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For Todd's exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with promo code STARNES. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA, and it comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Like I said, with summer upon us, it's a great time to get this. Just go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square to get the buy one, get one free offer. Enter promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506 to get your MyPillow 2.0s now. I got to go do that because I hate when I'm tossing and turning and can't get the pillow cool. Okay, one thing to go out on very quickly. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Mary Walter Radio. Look on YouTube for Mary Walter Radio. You can catch my podcast. And the audio for the podcast is up on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Again, just search for Mary Walter Radio. So this guy named Brandon Jackson wrote a blog post on Medium early this month. It took him almost a week of being locked out of his Amazon account in order to get it back. Now, he uses the account to control a lot of the devices in his home. A lot of people have the smart home stuff. I don't have any of it for reasons just like this. So he tried to use his Amazon Echo Show, which controls a variety of the connected smart home tools. And he found himself locked out of the device on May 25th. It was the day after he got a delivery. So he calls the Amazon customer hotline, and a representative informed him that he should have received an email about the lockout. And he said the email gave him a number to an Amazon exec, and he wondered if he was falling for a scam because, like, that's not normal. So the exec tells him that the driver who delivered my package reported receiving racist remarks from my Ring doorbell. So based on that report, they locked him out of all of the electronic stuff that Amazon controls in his home. And it took him almost a week. The bottom line, it took him almost a week to be able to get back into this stuff. Now, he is a tech guy, and it's what he does for a living. So he had contingencies built in case something happened. But he said no one was home, and he had video that he could provide to Amazon to say, look, no one was home, and his doorbell, it's not a Ring, it's some other brand, had a recording, and he presented it to them to plead his case, but he had to prove he was innocent, that this didn't happen, and the driver must have heard something wrong. And that's how he got back in. I'm telling you, I don't understand why people have all these electronic devices controlling everything in your home, and some unknown entity can just lock you out of it because they don't like something you said. That's scary. I'm Mary Walter. Jeff Katz is in tomorrow with you. Thank you for letting me join you on the Todd Starnes Show. Have a great day.